Praise God. Well, let's turn over to John 15. John 15, verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15, verse 18. Everybody there? It says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Or if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without cause." So verse 18 said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So I want to focus on that phrase, you are not of the world. Did you know that we are not of this world? Now, that doesn't mean you're from outer space. You shouldn't act like you're from outer space. You know, we're not talking about being weird. That means we're an alien in that sense. You're a human. I'm a human. But we have to understand that our body is not the real us. It's our earth suit. It's how we get around here. You need a body to get around and to be tangible and to touch this world. But that doesn't mean we're of this world. We're in it. We'll see that. But we're not of it. Let's go ahead and read a few more verses. We'll get into some of these. Read John 17. Turn over to John 17 while we're there. John 17, verse 9. So here, Jesus is praying for his disciples and then for all believers, but we're his disciples. He said, verse 9, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world." See, he's leaving. "But these are in the world." Meaning the disciples at this point, but are we in the world? Now, we're in it. Are we his disciples? Yes. "But these are in the world, and I come to you." So Jesus is getting out. He's leaving. He knows what's going to happen. And he said, they're still here. They're still in the world, but I'm coming to you. He said, "Holy Father, keep them through your name," or "keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I also kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, or separate them, set them apart. By your truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify them, or I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth, set apart by the truth. So he says that we are not of, his disciples were not of the world, but he said that we're in the world, we're not of the world. We're in it. He said he's getting out, but we're in it. The disciples at this point were in it. Well, we're still in it. And he goes on to pray for people that would believe on the disciples' word, which is you and I, you and me. We've believed. We didn't walk with Jesus, but we believed the word that said that he walked this earth, that he was the Son of God, is the Son of God, was God manifest in the flesh, that he came to save us by his blood, and that if we believe on him, that we are in the family of God, that we have been made children of the Almighty. And so we didn't see Jesus in the flesh, but by believing, we became part of the family. But we're still here. We're still in this world. Let's read Philippians. Let's just go ahead and read it on your sheet. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example, Paul, and note those who so walk, and you have us for a pattern, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So verse 20, our citizenship is where? In heaven. Now, you have a natural citizenship. Most of you, if not all of you in here, citizens of the United States, could be a citizen of another country as well. Sometimes you can have dual citizenship, or maybe you're a citizen of another country. But that is your natural belonging. But as a Christian, we are citizens of heaven. Whether we're here, when we are right now, our bodies are here. Hopefully your mind's here. But your spirit, and your spirit's here, but it's not a citizen just of this world. We are citizens of heaven. Let's go ahead and keep reading. I want to get some of these. We'll come back to some of these things. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear. I like that. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. You know, we're just passing through. You're not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. Anything that you're going through that may be difficult or different times, it's not going to be forever. Even if it were the rest of your life, that's not forever. Here, your rest of your life here on earth, it's not forever. It's just a little bit of time in God's standing. Just a few minutes. Your life is not that long. I don't care if you live to be 120. It's just not that long. It's only a fraction of a day, God time. Bible said with God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. Well, if that's true, how much is 120 years? Well, it's a little over a tenth. You take a tenth of a day, that's about, you know, and if it's a little over, you're talking about 3 hours. That's an eighth. Two and a half hours. You know, you're looking up saying, oh God, I just can't take this anymore. This has been so long. He said, it's been 2 minutes. It hasn't been that long. I just can't wait. Oh God, when am I going to get to this next stage? You've only been in this stage for 10 minutes. Have some patience. You're going to get there. In God time, if Jesus doesn't come back, all of us are going to be in heaven in a few minutes. His time. The people that went on before you, your parents or potentially children or sisters, brothers, people that you knew, if they're Christians and they're there, you're going to see them in a few minutes in God's way of viewing. And we ought to be looking at things through His perspective. Where we get messed up is when we start looking at things through the world's perspective and not His perspective. It starts to look bad. We live in a fallen world. I'm going to say that again. We live in a fallen world. I'm going to say it a third time. We live in a fallen... Everybody say it with me. We live in a fallen world. Do you realize this world is cursed? And we may see it here in a minute. I have these on there. This world is ruled by an enemy that's not God. Which, if people understood this, would explain all kinds of things to them. People think they're asking deep questions about why certain things are the way they are. Why do good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people? And people think they're asking a deep question. It's not that hard. You have somebody that hates you, that is the ruler of this world, and if we don't know that, and we don't stand up and take our rights and privileges as children of the Almighty, things can happen. And people, if people don't know that and they think it's God doing everything, see, people think there are whole sections of Christianity that believe God is running this whole thing. God is sovereign, but He gave control over to Adam, and God and Adam gave it over to Satan. And there's several scriptures we may or may not get to today that we go through this. The Bible clearly teaches that there's somebody else running the show right now, and it's not God. If it's God, He sure has it in a mess. If every decision and everything that happens is God's sovereign will, He's killing people left and right, these things that just happen, you know, any number of things over the last few weeks, He orchestrated. That's blasphemy. He did not do that. He is not orchestrating. That is not His will. We just leave it up to the will of God. That's not the will of God. That's people yielding to the devil, to evil. I mean, if your doctrine, if people think that everything that happens is God's will and it's God doing this and that, it's no wonder they have a problem following God. If you think God did these things. But we live in a cursed, fallen world. It's broken. It's messed up.
Because the Father, the God of this world, is messed up, is corrupt. That's Satan. And people that are listening to him are following his ways. And that's why you have all these problems. It's dysfunctional in its purest form. But notice he said, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. It's a stay. You know, when you go to a different part of the country, a different part of the world, but you're there temporarily. You know, like, went to Europe a few months ago. I had a time, I stayed there for a few days, but I came back. That was the time of my stay. I had to go through the different checkpoints. You have to show your passport, tell why are you there. And when you're leaving, they stamp it, coming in and all that. But I'm not staying. If I'm going to stay, I got to do some different stuff, but I wasn't staying. I'm just coming, conduct my business, and I left. Now I'm here. Well, we're not permanently here. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you don't have anything you think you can rejoice for, just thank God this is not permanent. Your body, you don't have to live with this forever. Thank God. It ain't going to hold up forever. It ain't going to hold up, you know, a few hundred years. It can't even do that. But we just read in the last one, God said he's going to give us a new body. Now that one will be built to last. No curse, no disease, no sickness. We don't have to live with disease and sickness here. But the fact is, your body's going to wear out here. It doesn't have to be sickly. It doesn't have to be diseased. But it's not going to go the distance. It's not going to last 500 years. Not anymore. Not in this world. Not going to happen. But the new one will. You imagine, I don't even know, it's hard to imagine what that's going to be like. That our body, I mean, it's like the one Jesus has. It's spiritual. I mean, it's flesh and bone. It doesn't decay. There's no death. You know, they say that your cells divide at some certain rate and it slows down as you get older. So that's why a child will heal so much faster, because their whole body is like new every little bit. It's just reproducing. It's just producing all these cells, so they heal. And then over time, that slows down. Well, that decay, that slowing down, that's death. It's a form of death. We're not fixing as quick as we used to. That's death. But there is zero of that in heaven. None. That means there's not ever any decay. Flowers, things that have been made here in the pattern of what is heaven, they don't die. You think, how can that be? There's no death. There's nothing to kill them. There's no curse. That's our home. That's where we're citizens. Not here. This is all temporary. Everybody say it's temporary. It's temporary. That means anything that you face here on this earth is not forever. It's for a period of time, period. There's nothing here that lasts forever. It's all going to be burned up, all of it. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to fix the whole thing. We haven't seen the way he created it. This is his creation. This is a warped version of his creation. This is not the original earth. It's been through a lot. And people have gone away from God. And so the way people function now, and it's rapidly changing, people are going very quickly toward death, toward ungodly behavior. It's It's increasing. But the good news is the light's increasing at the same time. More people are being saved. More people are finding out about what God really has for them. So the fact that the world is broken should not be a surprise to us. Jesus said, they won't accept you. If you were one of them, they would accept you, but you're not. You're in this world. You're not of it. You're a citizen of a different place. That's heaven. Let's read the rest of this verse. It says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Notice that. That describes a whole lot of the population of the world. Aimless conduct. People are just doing what they see everybody else do. It's aimless. So much of it is completely wasted motion. Doesn't amount to anything in the scheme of things. Just wasted time. Wasted effort. Well, Dad did it this way. Grandpa did it this way. Grandma did it this way. Why? Can you trace it back to the Word of God? Because if you can't, we ought to throw it out. That's part of the process of maturing in Christ. We're being transformed into His image. And that means stripping off all the junk that we inherited. We just saw what our daddy did, what our mommy did, what our cousins, aunts, and uncles, whoever did, what the people around us, our town did, and we thought that's the way you do it. And we put it up against the Word of God, and you can say, wait a minute, that's not the way it's done. God's Word is the standard. This is just the way people started doing it. This is worldly. In the process of growing up is stripping that stuff off and becoming more like He is. As we identify it. I didn't say you're going to do it tomorrow. I didn't say God expects us to do it tomorrow. Do you realize God sees all that right now and He still loves us and accepts us right now? Why? Because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, He can deal with us with grace and mercy. And we can look at us and He can look at us and say, I don't even have a clue that they're doing that. They've been doing that for 50 years and they don't even know it. I love them anyway. I'm not going to even tell them about that. No, son, daughter, just focus on this over here. Can you just fix this thing? Just work on this. And here there's 100 other things that we could be changing, and He's saying, just do this. He is so merciful and gracious. How can He deal with us like that? Because of what Jesus did. Because there's mercy. Because there's grace. But we can't look at things and say, well, this is the way it's always been. This is the way I learned it. Well, okay, fine. Is that the way God said it should be done? Because we all have picked up the world. I mean, you can't help live in this world. It tries to rub off on you. And now, I would say more than ever. Because we're bombarded with just the stuff around that's trying. It's their images. You realize, I mean, we didn't have those images. They didn't exist, period. 150 years ago, you couldn't produce the type of things as far as seeing motion pictures. Seeing the type of stuff that only existed in people's imagination is now, you can visualize it. You don't even have to imagine it. It's just right there if you yield yourself to seeing it. It is so pervasive that now people, it's easy to get swayed by that stuff if we let it, because it's everywhere. He said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we were redeemed. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood was the sacrifice, was the payment that allowed us to be removed from the bondage of this world and to be made citizens of heaven. That's the price of our citizenship, the blood of Jesus. That's why we believed on Him, and His blood cleaned us, cleansed us, changed us from the inside. We are new people and now made citizens of heaven. That's why now our citizenship has been purchased, has been transferred, but we're still here in this curse-filled world. And the question is then, what do we do with that? We're not of this world, but we're here. We're here, and we're here as representatives of the Almighty. We're His children. We're His family. We're in this mess. Then going forward, what do we do? Turn over to Romans. Let's go over there. We're just getting introduced into this thing, but turn over to Romans. Lay your eyes on it. Romans 12, verse 1, says, I beseech you, or I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says in verse 1, I urge you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God. That we present our bodies. Our bodies. Notice he said, you present your body. Our body is not us. That'd be like you presenting your car. Present your car as, you know, use for a certain purpose. Usable for a certain purpose. I'm presenting my car as at your service. It's your car. It's not you. You say, well, that's different. This, my body is me. It's not the real you. You own it. It's just really a vehicle. That's all it is. And we'll see that so clearly. You know, people have likened it, when you leave this body, it's like slipping out of a glove, a hand slipping out of a glove. You know, if I had a glove on, I could move the glove around, but the glove is not the hand. It looks like the hand, got the shape of the hand, it's not the hand. I can pull the glove off, there's now the hand. The glove without the hand is nothing, it's just limp. That's what it's going to be like. When you slip out of your body, I've heard testimony of people leaving their body, and all of a sudden they're looking down and there's their body. And they're at the top of the room. They're leaving. They're watching themselves. You know, maybe there's somebody operating on them, or they see their body lying there, and all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, that's me. I'm out. What? But they don't feel, they don't even know it initially until they, wait a minute, that's me. But they didn't feel, why? Because this is, the real you is inside. It's just, we don't realize That this is just, we're so used to living with this thing. You know, it's always with us. That we think it's us. It's not us. It's just a vehicle. We're going to get a new one. It's really more like your car. You need to get in it. You drive it around. You take care of it. Hopefully. But it's not you. It's not me. It's going to go away. The real us is on the inside. So Paul says here, I beseech you to present your bodies. You, the real you, present your body. Here's your body. What are you going to do with it? You're going to present it as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? You're going to do with it what God wants you to do with it. In verse 2, you're not going to be conformed to this world. In other words, you're not going to do what everybody else that's not a citizen of heaven does. There's so much here. And we're just believing God, He's going to help us get out what we need to get out as we get into this thing. But there's so... people are doing things they don't know any better. Sometimes they just, that's what they've always seen. They haven't been born again. They're away from God. They don't understand that that's actually wrong. I mean, they have, I'm not saying they don't always know anything, but they're not renewed. They're not born again. They don't have the knowledge of God. We're not supposed to act like people that don't have the knowledge of God. Well, everybody's doing it. Yeah, most of them aren't children of God. And they think it's fun what they're doing. I'm talking about in all areas. Just it's actually destruction and death so much. I'm not saying people don't do anything, right? Anything you see is good in the world. It's been the influence of godly men and women that have instituted those things and made them part of a culture. But so much of it's trying to be corrupted. And where you see there hasn't been that influence, you see easy to go to just things that aren't right or easy to be done in those societies. Why? Because there's no light. There's no truth. There's nothing to influence. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go ahead and look on your sheet, the next scripture, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, describing people that don't know God. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. To be holy is to be set apart, to be made for a certain purpose. When something is declared holy, it's precious, it's set apart, it's holy to God, is to be esteemed. God is a holy God, and we're not... to be caught up with things that are ungodly. Praise God. Go ahead and look down at Ephesians on your sheet there. Just kind of setting the stage. We're going over a number of scriptures. I believe just kind of as a flyover sometimes like we do. We're flying over, but then we're going to get into some different areas. But I just want to hit lightly some of these things so you get at least an overview Ephesians 4, verse 17, you just look at it on your sheet, says, "This I say therefore in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles," or the people without God, "walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened." Notice that. Their understanding is dark. You say, how can people do certain things? Their understanding's dark. You can see whole societies being dark. There is that. That's true. When it's without the light, the Word is called the light. The Word is called truth. When there's no truth, there's no Word of God, there's nothing being acted on, that's the Word of God, it gets dark. People's minds become dark, and they think it's normal. This world is darker than we know because we're used to it. We're used to it being this dark. If I were to turn out all the lights in this room, honestly, you wouldn't be able to see much because it's cut off. Or you might be able to see a little light under there. But if I were to turn off all the lights in this room, actually, go ahead. Ushers, go ahead and turn them off. It's all three switches down. Yeah, turn your iPad off. It's pretty dark. You do see the exits? But, you know, after a little while, even the way it is now, there's a few lights. But your eyes are getting used to it right now. Even with as little light as there is, right now your eyes are getting more and more used to it. You can turn this off. Just let them adjust. This is dark. It could be darker. There's a few lights. But it's pretty dark. But after a while, you could get reasonably used to. There's not a whole lot of light in here. But if you had a little bit, we're not saying it's completely dark. If I were to put this up here, now you can see a little better. You see shadows. You can see people. You let this adjust, your eyes get adjusted to this, you're going to see a certain amount. And if you were to live like this, I mean, let's say, you know, a new baby came in, and this is what they know. You've never seen what it looks like to be outside in the sun. This is life. Your eyes would adjust to a certain degree. I mean, even right as we're talking, I can see you better. Your eyes, you know, your pupils are opening as wide as they can. They're dilating, trying to let all this light in. Even as I'm talking to you, I can see more. You can probably see me a little better. We're getting used to it. But this is not normal. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not light. This is exceedingly dark. Now go ahead and turn the lights back on, please, guys. Takes a little bit. Now your eyes are whoop, shutting down. Wait a minute. Takes you a little bit to adjust. When we get to heaven, there is no sun. They don't need any lights because Jesus is there. We have not seen bright. And I don't know how our eyes work there. But they're evidently made to handle it. What we're dealing with here is more like when we had the lights off and you can kind of see and you make out images and you're getting to... People have lived with it for so long, they think that's normal. But it's not normal. The Bible says we're children of the light. The Bible says we're citizens of heaven. It is bright there. The streets are gold. There is no sin. There is no death. There is no darkness. There is no sorrow. There is no disease. There are none of these dark things that cloud men's minds that, even though they're going about their business, are darkening their understanding. There is no enemy to pull on them, and there is no lust. There is no desire to do things that are against God. It's all light. There's no weight. We're not weighted down. The Bible talks about weight being weighted down by the sin that so easily besets us here. It's not there. But we can think certain things are normal because we're in this world and the world itself is dark. But what we have to realize is that we have the light living on the inside of us. And the more we yield to that light, the lighter our lives get. The more our conduct, we start letting that light dictate what we do. Our lives get brighter. They start to look more and more like what God intended. We're not aware, as we should be, I don't believe, of how much light is on the inside of us because we have the Spirit of the Christ living on the inside of us. So even though we are in this dark, dark world, we have God in us. And we're supposed to take that light. The Bible says that we're supposed to be lights in the world, in this dark world. We're not supposed to dim it down and become dark like them. Oh, nobody's bright here. I guess I'll just cover it and just be like, well, I'm just like you. No light. Ooh, that's cool. Okay, it's cool to be dark. No, we're supposed to say, yep. And you know what? The more it goes, the darker the world gets, the more people, when they see it, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so much different. It's different. It's different, and it's getting more different. It's the light is getting bright, and the dark is getting darker, so the disparity between the two is getting more pronounced. And it's no wonder. As Jesus said, that's why they look at you and say, we don't like what you're doing. Because why? They're recoiling at it because they're dark. Their understanding's dark and they see it a certain way and say, no, that's so different. That's so different. We don't like it. It makes us uncomfortable. But it's actually the light of God. We're supposed to be different. Yes. Not weird. Different. Godly. There's a difference between weird and being godly. Now, the world may call some things that look godly, well, that's just weird. You don't have to be weird in the sense of flaky or, you know, people say you're a peculiar people. That word does not really, that's the King James. That doesn't really do it justice. People have used that as a license to just be flaky and, well, I'm just weird for God. No, God's not weird. But the more our lives line up with the Word of God, it's going to be so different from what the world's used to that it can cause conflict. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. If we think that we have to change everything that we are so that we fit in with the world, our behavior is going to keep changing for the worse. Because the world is changing and it's not getting better. It's getting worse for the most part. There are segments, as people get a hold of the light, they're getting better. But I'm talking about the current in the world is not going toward light, it's going toward darkness. If you just look, all you have to do, go look, and you only have to go back 50 years. Go back 5 years. Go back a year and you can already see the change. It's happening that fast. But you go back 50 years, in this country, there was so much more light. There wasn't the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The culture was so much more godly. Just the things, the values ingrained in the culture, the way people perceived life, the way people took personal responsibility. They realized they were given freedom by God. That's what this country was founded on. and they took it as they're living before God and acting in a responsible manner. It's so far removed to that, people don't look at it like that anymore. But we are to be different. Let's read the rest. I don't believe we read the rest of that. Let's read that again. This I say, therefore, and testify, Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. A lot of ness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, this is what we were talking about earlier, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's a process. It's a process of putting off that stuff that has been corrupted, that we've been maybe influenced by, and start putting on the new man, the one that we said is the real us on the inside. See, we can be, because of the influence in the past, even though we're new on the inside, even though that person is a citizen of heaven, yet our body is used to doing certain things. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 20 years, if you haven't let what's on the inside in certain areas come out and influence our behavior on the outside, and it can be more in one area than in another. There's one area where we have really put the word into practice and we've started to live more as the way lined up with the way the word of God states. And then in other areas, we haven't touched it. And so our bodies will go where they're told, just like your car will. So we can have habits. We can have ways of being, habits, things of ways of going about life that we learn from other people that we just got accustomed to. I mean, habits are so important. What you learn as a child and establish when you go out to be out on your own as an adult, you know, you start trying to move those things. It takes effort to change what you've done because they're established. You've always done it a certain way. You saw it done that way. Therefore, this is the way we do it. And to steer it a different way is not easy, but can be done through the power of God. But your body wants to do certain things. It's always done. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian. If we haven't subjected our body and told it what it's going to do, it wants to do the same thing it's always done. Our minds, even though we've been born again on the inside, even though we're citizens of heaven, our mind can still be programmed the way the world does stuff, and so our mind thinks the way other people have thought. If we don't touch it with the Word of God, if we don't subject it to discipline with the Spirit of God and put it, renew it with the Word of God, our minds can think just like our family always thought, just like the people around us always thought if they were not godly. Here we have a born-again spirit. Here we're citizens of heaven, but our mind and our bodies want to do the same stuff we always have done. And that's normal. But it's not supposed to stay like that. If we look around, we'll say, everybody else is doing it. Well, who everybody? If it's the world, we're not supposed to be like that. So we look at it and go, well, and I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to think real hard about it. We can all look at our own lives and say, well, yeah, there's some stuff. Ideally, is not where I'd like it to be if we're honest with where we look at the Word and we see certain things. But then there's a whole lot of stuff, like I said, we don't even see. And majority of people, we're doing what we know to do. We're doing the best we know how. And God, as we see it and see stuff that, wait a minute, the Word says I should be doing this. I've always done it this way. Something needs to change. That's when we go to God and say, God, help me. Show me how to change this, because I don't know. This is all I've ever seen people do. This is the way my family did it. This is how everybody I saw in my town do it. But your Word obviously says this other thing. How do I do that? I don't know how to do that. Show me how to do it. Give me wisdom. And that's what God's looking for. He loves it when His children would come to Him and say, Daddy, show me. Don't you love it when your kids, if they come to you and say, Dad, I don't know how to do this. Will you show me how to do this? You as a parent, they say, Mommy, can you help me with this? I don't know, but I know you know better than I do. I mean, you hear that from a child, what does that make you want to do? Help them? Here, this is the way you do it. Let me help you. Don't you have much mercy and grace for a child like that? On the other hand, if the child goes, I know it all, you don't know anything, I'll do it. They're making a mess of everything. Okay, have it your way, pal. Have it your way, daughter. That's not what God is looking at. A whole lot of people on the earth, and they don't want to have anything to do with them. In fact, a lot of them, they say, well, we're too smart now. We don't believe God exists, which is laughable. That's like the height of ignorance. The person that created us does not exist. The person I was created to serve, the person I was created to be a part of, family, the person that I am created to rely on, that I can't actually do everything that I'm supposed to do in this life, I need Him, and I don't believe He even exists. That's a major, major problem. But God knows the state of humanity. And when the world, He's waiting for the world to change and move to Him. But as we as children are not supposed to have that darkness and ignorance. And as we see, that's why the Word is called light. As the light of the Word comes and shows up something in our life, our reaction is to say, Lord, I see that. I see that. I acknowledge that. Help me. Show me. And that takes a strong man or a woman to do that. It is so much easier to throw up your hands and to just say, well, everybody's doing it. It doesn't matter. I'll just do it too. But we're not called to that. The current is going this way. If you've ever been in a river, hopefully you weren't out too far, but you don't have to go out too far in a river. You can feel the current. You got to be careful, because it can suck you, pull you away. But even in a stream, if it's going one way, it doesn't take much in a stream to walk up the other way, to go upstream. But if it's a river and it's pushing this way, it doesn't take any effort at all to jump on your inner tube and just float right down with the river. But to start walking upstream against all of that and say, I'm not going that way. I'm not going that way. I'm going upstream. That takes a lot of effort. And that's what it's like. The current is getting stronger going the wrong way. But we're not called to just go with the current. We are called to be different and to stand up and go, God, I'm going to live the way you want me to live. I'm going to be a light and I'm going to walk with you. I want the kind of life that you've described in your Word. And I'm going to walk according to what I see. You show me. As you show me the little bits of change. And He won't show you everything at once. He'll show us little bits at a time. But we're called to live differently. And that's okay. It is God's mandate that we do look different in a godly way. Now, that doesn't mean we shun the world. We shun on God. We just go and we hole up and we're the super Christians. We're not going to talk to anybody. And we'll talk about that. There are scriptures that say, no, you don't do that. We're not supposed to do that. Because if it's dark, and you take your light, I mean, like we had it dark in here before, when it's that dark, if you have a light, if you have a cell phone, if you had, you know, a little flashlight, it shows in that darkness. But if you say, it's too dark in here, I'm leaving. Now it's even darker. If you have a bunch of few lights walking around, it looks at least you can see what's going on. But those people start saying, it's too dark in here, I'm leaving, I'm taking my light and going somewhere else. Now it's that much darker. And that's what a lot of Christians end up doing. They say, I can't take the darkness. This is just too bad. This is too corrupt. I'm leaving. Well, guess what happens then? It's a vacuum. Now there's nothing to withhold. Now darkness has full reign. That's not what we're called to either. We are not called to hole up and cut ourselves off completely from the world. We are supposed to live in this world and be an influence. We're just not supposed to act like the world. There's a difference. We're supposed to be different, but that difference is supposed to come in contact with the world. And the world is messed up. And going and just throwing it in their face and telling them, you're messed up, is not exactly what we're supposed to do. That's not going to help. I'm getting ahead of myself, but like I said, we're kind of flying over here. That's not, and I think we'll get into it, I don't think we're going to touch it today. But that's not the type of thing we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be in there telling everybody they're just messing up left and right. We're not supposed to accept everything they're doing either. That's wrong. But there's a difference between the two. And then you're not supposed to just hole up and say, well, never mind. We are just, as for us, you know, me and us four, no more. We're just going to go hold, you know, you heard the guy pray for his wife and his son and his wife. Bless us, Lord, us four, no more. That's what so many, we're just like, we're going to go off and do our thing and forget the rest of the world. We're not to do that, but we're not to just act like the way the world acts either. There's a line we walk. There's a way to be a part of this fallen world and yet live godly. And God gives us the strength to do it. Amen.